I call American Exposé listeners. It's the 12th of October, 2005. I see in the news today, the U.S. Health Secretary said that an outbreak of bird flu in Southeast Asia could spark an unstoppable pandemic and has led a team through the region to find ways of stopping the deadly disease. There's much more to this article, as you can well be aware of on our website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C, as a statement on purpose. However, in 1977, a secret federal virus program produced 15,000 gallons of AIDS. That's 1977, listeners. 1977 was the same year that the INMOD Treaty was created between the United Nations and the participating states, the Environmental Modification Treaty, 1977. So, apparently a secret federal virus program produced 15,000 gallons of aid. The record reveals the United States was represented by Dr. Robert Gallo, and the USSR was represented by Dr. Novakovsky and the Diabolical Ivanovsky Institute. On August 21st, 1999, the world first saw the flow chart of the plot to thin the black population. Now, listeners, Dr. Graves and myself are connected with the National Security Study Memorandum 200 by Henry Kissinger and his staff during the Gerald Ford administration. This goes on to state the 1971 AIDS flowchart coordinates over 20,000 scientific papers and 15 years of progress reports of a secret federal virus development program. The epidemiology of AIDS is an identical match to the research logic identified in the five-section foldout. The flowchart is page 61 of Progress Report Number 8, dated 1971, of the Special Virus Program of the United States of America. We today challenge world scientists to discussion of this document find. We believe that there is a daily growing number of world experts who are all coming to the same conclusion regarding the significance of the flowchart. Dr. Garth Nicholson has examined the flowchart as well as other top experts around the world. It is time for Dr. Michael Moresi of Germany to examine the flowchart and report to the world. In addition, we have now examined the 1978 report. It is hearsay to continue to further argue the program ended in 1977. Heresy, listeners. The 1978 report of the development of AIDS leaves no doubt as to the narrow result candidate virus sought by the United States. The flowchart conclusively proves a secret federal plot to develop a contagious cancer that selectively kills. Following the presentation of the flowchart in Canada, the same information was presented to the United States in the rotunda of the Western Reserve Historical Society in Cleveland. Shortly thereafter, a major African newspaper called, and for 4 days in a row, the issue was the feature story in an uncensored press, people. We have Dr. Boyd Graves with us today, listeners, a revolutionary broadcast that you'll all want to get everyone on board to listen to. He will be with us momentarily, Dr. Boyd Graves. Stay with us. On August 21st, 1999, in Canada, Boyd E. Graves, BSJD, presented a 1971 flowchart to the international medical and scientific community. The flowchart is the research, quote, research logic flow, end quote, of an ultra-secret federal program entitled the, quote, special virus, end quote. Since August 1999, the flowchart continues to receive intense scrutiny, with many scientists and medical doctors now going on record as confirming the diabolical nature of the, quote, special virus, end quote, program. The special virus is the designer product of a century-long hunt for a contagious cancer that will selectively kill. The, quote, unquote, necessity for the creation and development of AIDS is fully outlined in U.S. population control policy decisions, including National Security Study Memorandum 200, that's NSSM 200, dated 1974, written and presented by Henry Kissinger at the mega conference on population control held in Bucharest, Romania. They always have these conferences out of the country. And Dr. Graves, I'm warm to welcome you to the broadcast.
Chris, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
It's my privilege. And if you don't mind, let's start at the beginning and let's let the listeners know who Dr. Boyd Graves is. And I'll give you the floor to explain in full detail your connections to this whole mess.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Let me just say that I believe that the issue is far greater than who I am. However, I will take a moment to share that some 13 years ago, I received a positive diagnosis for HIV. Now, here 13 years later, there's much speculation that indeed it may have been a false positive at that time, and I don't know how we can explore that. But the HIV medicine did do me in, and I had a 50-50 chance of living at one point. I have pursued other means and came in contact with the cure for AIDS, which is U.S. patent number 5676977. Let me say that again, because anyone can access it through the patent database, 5676977. That was 4 years ago. I took the one-time injection that I believe has cured me of AIDS and the possibility of getting AIDS. The patent number again, 5676977. The database is www.uspto.gov, patent trademark office.gov. Anyone can access that patent. Anyone can find the cure for AIDS. However, as the first American to take the cure, it's almost as if I still have HIV or AIDS. The stigma still applies. But nonetheless, I have researched for the last 13 years to find the origin of AIDS, because I thought back in 1992, the best way to combat HIV was to figure out the true beginning. Right. And in this case, we have found the wellspring of the genesis of HIV/AIDS. It is the United States, and it is this U.S. special virus program.
And there you have it, in a nutshell. So you have a... you were in Annapolis, weren't you?
Yes, I graduated 30 years ago, as a matter of fact. In fact, our reunion, homecoming, is this November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, but it was 30 years ago that I graduated from Annapolis. That's correct.
And so you went on from there, and give us the detail of your life as to how you've connected this dot to this designer disease that is... receiving so much publicity from the World Health Organization over the years, and then we'll get into this bird flu pandemic as well.
Sure. You know, when I state that it is HIV/AIDS is the result of a century-long hunt for a contagious cancer that collectively kills, that is true. The research goes well back into the 19th century, and it is all true. It appears that following World War II, a decision was put into place to develop a strategy to deal with the burgeoning populations of the Third World. And what that means is that the people of Africa, the continent of Africa, did not go to war during World War II. So they were, in essence, maintaining their normal order while so many others around the world were being killed, and that included Americans. And we experienced what we call a baby boom, I think back in the 50s and early 60s there, as a result of the soldiers coming back from war and restarting their lives. But a February 1948 memo from the State Department in its Foreign Policy Statement 21, written by George Kennan, says that the United States needs to devise a strategy to deal with the burgeoning populations of the Third World. However, if you look at this entire issue in perspective, you see that the May 1946 appropriations hearing of the United States talks about a synthetic biological agent that was in usable shape. Many of us believe that by importing the Nazi scientists beginning in 1945, they brought something with them. And what they brought was this thing that we now call VISNA, V-I-S-N-A. And few people have even heard the word, let alone understand the significance and the ramifications relative to this VISNA.
VISNA, but yes, never heard of it before.
VISNA is the infectious agent of HIV. In fact, it's the etiological agent of HIV. And you say, how is that possible? Because VISTA is an Icelandic sheep disease. So if we take nature on its face, that should tell you that HIV did not come from Africa, if its etiological agent is from Iceland, correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, so how do we get an agent from Iceland transformed into an agent people say came from Africa? And it is all poppycock. It is all propaganda. It is all false. It is the centralized intelligence of the United States. Many of us believe that the CIA itself was primarily formed for the purposes of executing this plan of weeding out and thinning out the black race. Now, when people say, oh, it's not just black people, it isn't just black people, that the plan calls for 2 billion people of the world to perish vis-a-vis depopulation. So it isn't just black people. However, it appears that all black people are earmarked and targeted in that sense. The white people who die are expendable, and I think you know what I mean.
Right.
Right. So where are we today with this VISTA, an Icelandic sheep disease, being the etiological agent of HIV? It tells us something. Because many people have heard of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments that began in 1932, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Well, what people don't know is that that very same year, 1932, they began testing the etiological agent of HIV on the sheep in Iceland, 1932. So Tuskegee is not an isolated event. Indeed, it is coordinated with the subsequent development of HIV. And let me just transgress just for a second and correct one point.
Please.
It is 60,000 liters of HIV that was made by this special virus program, not 15,000 gallons. Somewhere in my errant past, I transposed 60,000 liters to 15,000 gallons, and that's
okay.
Not the same thing. But it's 60,000 liters of HIV that was made vis-a-vis the U.S. Special Virus Program. In fact, Dr. Alan Cantwell out of Los Angeles traced through the progress reports and confirmed that, indeed, this Federal Virus Development Program produced a whole lot of HIV and other ilks from this program. So we have the progress reports of the Special Virus Program. We have every experiment and every contract. And the flowchart document itself is the crown jewel. It is irrefutable evidence of the U.S. laboratory birth of AIDS. And it has not been disputed in any way in the last 6 years that it's been in the face of the scientists and medical communities of this planet.
Now, listeners, in the growing research section of the front page of American Exposé, You will find, holy mackerel, oh my gosh, Dennis is tremendous, I just cannot believe it. Here we see number 30 from the World Health Organization, Avian Influenza Fact Sheet. Also number 31, Avian Influenza, I'm not sure what this symbol is, situation in Indonesia. Then you see the swine flu fiasco. Number 32. Number 33, Swine Flu Exposé by Eleanor McBean. And then number 34, the 1918 Influenza Pandemic. And then entry number 35, the 1918 Spanish Flu Pandemic. And then number 36, Boyd Graves, the man who solved AIDS. Now, this is very, very important. I want you to go into as much detail as possible about this situation that we're living today, Dr. Graves.
You're referring to the upcoming pandemic?
Well, like I said before, we have time to get into that. We have time to get into the past. Whatever you feel is most important to structure this broadcast, I leave it to you.
Well, I appreciate that. We will go back in history then and try to understand this master plan of elimination of the black race. When did it start? How did it start? Who started it? Those kind of elements.
Yes.
And, you know, I come to the conclusion, whether people like hearing this or not, that when the first Vikings came across the continent of Africa, and the scraggly ones who survived the conquest, if you would, who went back north.
Let's continue on the other side of the commercial pause with Dr. Boyd Graves. I will give you the floor when we return, Dr. Graves.
Stay with us.
Dr. Boyd Graves is with us. Please continue where you left off, sir.
Well, yes, I will. Thank you very much. And for people to check some of the information, they can go to my website. It's boydgraves.com. That's BoydGraves.com. And on the website are the posting of some 30 scientists and medical doctors who believe that this information is correct 100%. But I was saying that, where did this master plan...
Before you go any further, that's that entry I told you on the website, and it's the last entry on research on our website, listeners. I want to make sure that they understand this, Dr. Graves, that they can see this right now. It's number 36, Boyd Graves, the man who solved AIDS, number 36 at the bottom of the research section in our news and information. Please continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sure. What I was saying was I was, you know, trying to determine, you know, how did this plan develop, you know, fear of the black man, fear of the black woman, fear of their ability, our ability to procreate greater than theirs and all that kind of thing. And I suspect that when the first Vikings came across the continent of Africa engaged the African man and woman, the ones who did survive, the Vikings who did survive and went back, said, we got to do something. Those people are bigger than us, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Because you see throughout history, there has always been this slanted playing field, of course, relative to black and white, but it extends itself into the biological research. But before we get into the 19th century, there's something very important that happened on May 1, 1776, a group called the Illuminati was formed.
Yes.
And on July 4, 1776... the Illuminati formed a corporation. July 4, 1776, formed a corporation, the United States of America.
I believe that.
Yes, sir. So what we are looking at here is a twisted, wicked undertaking of what I call fake. It is all fake. It is a facade. A country that espouses democratic constitutional principles and guarantees its citizens a right to life is secretly working night and day to take away that inherent right. That's kind of what we're dealing with here. It is the facade of a government and the facade of a country, because no democratic constitutional government would ever seek to slay its own citizens. But that is exactly what this U.S. Special Virus Program represents. The reason that it has a selective kill factor is that they have determined, and I'm not sure when they determined this, but all black people have a CCR5 Delta 32 positive gene, all black people. It is the receptor site for HIV. That is not by nature. That is by design. All black people have the CCR5 Delta 32 positive gene. It is speculated that following the avian flu pandemic around the year 2012 will be the ultimate pandemic, where something will come through the air. It will be triggered by your hair color or your eye color, and all of those persons, as is in my case with black hair and brown eyes, are probably going to perish. So there's a sinister plan behind this elimination of human beings, primarily based on color. It is very sinister, but it is also very real. And but for programs like this, Chris, who aren't afraid to expose the truth, we would not have an opportunity to fight back. But because of programs like this, we do have an opportunity to fight back.
I agree wholeheartedly. I am fully in your court. I see the machinations going on from the past to the present. I see the wars, the created wars, and we're in another one now. And now they come out with a movie called Jarhead to glorify the Marines in Iraq right now, in Afghanistan. So I'm in full agreement with you. I just want to make sure every bit of your information is able to be dissected today. So we want to get every bit of information out as much as possible.
Okay. Well, you know, let's see where it all begins then. In 1843, they discovered something relative to the tobacco plant. It's called the tobacco mosaic virus. And it had another name, spotted leaf disease. How something formed on the leaves of the tobacco plant that spread. That something is called a mycoplasma. Have you heard that word before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, mycoplasma. Well, they moved the mycoplasma from the plant to the animal, and we could show that in 1898, they had the bovine, for cows, bovine spongiform encephalitis, BSE. In 1902, they moved it into horses, the equine infectious anemia virus, EIAV. In 1904, they moved it into goats, the caprine. They have all these other names for the different animals, but the caprine or caprine arthritic encephalitis virus. In 1909, they moved it into chickens. In 1918, we had the Spanish flu. History now shows that the 1918 Spanish flu was a recombinant virus, i.e. one that had been put together by man. It just as it is now with the avian flu today is the same as the 1918 flu. That's how they know it's going to be deadly. It is the same identical recombinant man-made flu virus.
Very important. We'll connect to 1918 a little more on the other side with Dr. Boyd Graves. Listeners, stay tuned. No calls for now. Let's listen to this man, and we'll be right back. Dr. Boyd Graves, BoydGraves.com is the website. On that website, you'll find the history of the development of AIDS. And in 1918, the influenza virus killed millions of unsuspecting. That's 1918. The influenza virus killed millions of unsuspecting. It was a flu virus modified with a bird, mycoplasma, for which humans, primates, had no acquired immunity. That's a quote, end quote, acquired immunity. Continue, Dr. Graves, about this.
Well, you know, it's very sickening, isn't it? I mean, now that we're relooking and going backwards to take a peek, knowing what we know now, but indeed the 1918 Spanish flu was a recombinant virus, and it had that bird element in it, however it was done. And of course, we had no immunity to it, and that's why so many people died. But what people don't know also is that if the 1918 Spanish flu was not man-made, then why was the first case of Spanish flu here in the United States not on a border city or a port town, but Manhattan, Kansas? That's just unfathomable.
Let me ask you also, where do vaccinations fit into this time frame?
Well, you know, what we believe is that they have used the vaccines, and the flowchart, the 1971 flowchart, proves that the vaccines were complemented, not contaminated. They were complemented with the special virus, i.e. the HIV. The smallpox vaccines that the United States sent to Africa, as well as the United States recruited promiscuous white homosexuals to take an experimental hepatitis B vaccine. Those vaccines were laced with the HIV that had been created through the special virus program.
But my question was dealing with 1918. Where was there a vaccine used back then to help this to build?
Well, I don't believe so. I think it did genuinely come through the air. In fact, I was reading something where it was a children's rhyme that goes something to the effect that I once had a bird named Enza. I opened the window and in flew Enza. Yeah, so, you know, it does seem to be that they can, just like I call it aerobiology, where they can disperse things like the chemtrails in the air that do have an effect, obviously a deadly effect, you know, on the people. So I do believe that there was not a vaccine back in 1918 that helped spread that pandemic. However, we can show that it is airborne, and we can show that it is man-made. And it goes back to that element of the mycoplasma, because just like HIV, influenza is also a mycoplasma. And so if they're serious about eradicating this avian flu here in the modern day, all these conferences, you know, we're already in the pandemic. You knock out the TAT gene, the TAT gene of the mycoplasma, and that stops it from budding into the next cell by knocking out the TAT gene, the TAT gene. And the same is true for HIV, that if you stop the mycoplasma from budding, B-U-D-D-I-N-G, i.e. killing one cell, then it buds, it leaves that cell and goes to the next. If you stop the mycoplasma from budding, you stop the continuation of that disease.
I see. So 1918 is being referred back to us today as a replication today of 1918, correct?
I believe that's absolutely correct, that once we get the electron microscopy of the avian flu for 2005, I'm almost certain it is a mycoplasma, and certain that it is almost identical, I'm sure, to the 1918 Spanish flu, because that was a bird flu, too.
Uh-huh.
We're just changing the names here. The avian flu. Well, you know, bird flu or avian flu, whatever we're saying. But the 1918 Spanish flu was a bird flu, was an avian flu. Now we have an avian flu here in the year 2005. Yeah, I believe it's the same thing, and the electron microscopy will show that.
I see. Well, okay, so we sort of left off at 1918, and we're referred back to 1918 today. What happened after 1918 to bring us up, you know?
Yeah, sure. Excuse me.
Huh?
There was something in 1915 that's relevant, and it's like the grandmother of VISTA. VISTA didn't get that name, V-I-S-N-A, until the 1930s when the Icelandic farmers were watching their flocks of sheep being decimated, and VISTA is an Icelandic word. It means, it's pronounced Vishna, and it means wasting.
Okay.
In 1915, the South Africa developed the mother agent of VISTA. It was called Graaf Reinet disease. These are all mycoplasmas, but it's all in that same time frame where we use war and other deception to hide the real agenda, to hide the master plan. After 1915, the VISTA thing shows up in a couple of the U.S. laboratories out here in the West, and the full-scale introduction of VISTA to the sheep in Iceland beginning in 1932 in coordination with Tuskegee. However, in 1926, there was a virus cancer conference at MIT. So it is nonsense for anyone to argue that this special virus program was just trying to determine that viruses cause cancer. They already knew that viruses cause cancer. The 1926 conference at MIT also confirms that. Review the conference papers from the 1926 virus cancer conference, and you'll see that the United States knows a whole lot more than they have let the American people and the people of the world onto. But in 1932, they first began the large-scale testing of the VISTA. It came from Halle, Germany, H-A-L-L-E. 20 Karakul sheep were shipped to Iceland and spread around the continent, or the island, excuse me, one sheep to a farmer kind of thing. And one farmer, I think, had a couple of them all together. But then they sat back and they watched. And what they saw was, it took 6 years for the two sheep of the 20 that were carrying the VISTA to decimate the entire herd. Now that's relevant, because when they released HIV in 1978, they waited 6 years until 1984 to say they knew what it was. The same 6 years as the experiment that was conducted on the sheep in Iceland. So this is all tied together, that there is a undercurrent in this country and perhaps around the world, and you mentioned the World Health Organization, that many people have to die, as if the environment, the trees and the lakes and rivers are more important than the people. I don't believe that they are.
No, and this is the point. I believe it was reported that 30,000 birds were imported from Thailand. I can't verify this. I don't think I dreamed it, but I think 30,000 birds were imported from Thailand to America.
Recently, you're saying?
I believe that, yes.
Well, you know, again, I mean, it's like smoke and mirrors. That here, you know, they're making these mycoplasma diseases. And if you review House Resolution 15090, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
What is that again? What is that, House?
House Resolution H.R. 15090. It is the sworn congressional testimony of the U.S. Pentagon that they needed $10 million to make a weapon for which no natural immunity could have been acquired, a weapon that will deplete the immune system so as to allow for the onset of infectious disease. Now, the president says, the current occupant, says that HIV-AIDS is a plague of nature. Well, Mr. President, if HIV-AIDS is a plague of nature, then where is the government synthetic biological agent that depletes the immune system?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because they received the funding. They received the $10 million. They said they could have it in 10 years. That was June 9, 1969. And by 1979, we had HIV-AIDS, correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir. It is House Resolution 15090. And the reason I mention that is because I'm talking about page 129, Synthetic Biological Agent is the title of the page. However, on page 121, the United States admits that it was working on this agent that would be like a plague, like a dark plague, and only in certain geographical regions and areas of the world. And they were also, they also admit that they were making lethal as well as incapacitating agents. And, you know, 100 years ago, we didn't have chronic fatigue immune deficiency syndrome, did we?
No.
Okay. They made HIV and they made chronic fatigue immune deficiency syndrome.
I believe that.
Lethal and incapacitating. So the HIV is lethal, and the chronic fatigue certainly incapacitates, you know, those poor people who are afflicted with chronic fatigue immune deficiency syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have here? We have a whole treasure trove, for lack of a better word, of lunacy. This is lunacy. This is science of an order that one could only read about or see perhaps in a movie, but the movie is reality. Indeed, they are making these agents, and now we have this avian flu to prove it. We had SARS a couple of years ago, severe acute respiratory syndrome. It was a mycoplasma. HIV and SARS, someone should put that in on the patent database. Tobacco mosaic virus and HIV, put those two terms in on the patent database, and you'll find that there is a connection between the tobacco mosaic virus and HIV. And it goes even further than that, Chris. You put in on the U.S. patent database rabies and HIV, how if a rabid dog that's foaming at the mouth bites you and you don't get a shot, eventually you're going to be foaming at the mouth too, right?
Correct. That's what we're told.
Well, okay. So if we see then that here it's transmissible. So mycoplasmas are these transmissible agents. Someone should go on the U.S. patent database right now, put in rabies and HIV. You'll see the interlocutory patents connecting those two phenomena.
Uh-huh. Well, continue.
Well, you know, I'm not sure which direction to go in. I want to stay focused here. I want people to definitely know that there is the U.S. patented cure for AIDS, because it isn't just about the origin of HIV, which I believe is important, but it is also the remedy for HIV, which I believe is equally important, or even more so, because there is a U.S. patented cure for AIDS. I would hope somebody would check it out and come back on the air here at some point and say, you know, the guy was right or the guy was wrong. But we're putting down the gauntlet today. The patent, again, is 5676977. You can go to www.uspto.gov and access the cure for AIDS. My goal here is to awake the masses, to force this government into the clinical trials of the AIDS cure. I believe that's where we need to head. It's a one-time infusion injection, and 48 months ago, next month, you know, I took it 4 years ago.
Now, we see in 1957, future U.S. President Representative Gerald Ford and others gave the U.S. Pentagon permission to aggressively deploy offensive biological agents. There were no recorded cases of AIDS prior to the 1957 creation of Special Operation X. That's S-O-X.
That's correct. You know, we are pushing this Congress to give us that off-the-record testimony. They went off the record. And thus far, we have not been able to get that testimony from 1957, where they did initiate Special Operations X. And shortly thereafter, something hit Africa. It was called Burkitt's lymphoma, beginning in 1957. So this is all coordinated. That here we say, you know, we're the land of the free, the brave, and all this democratic constitutional crap, and it is just that crap.
Yeah, now, in 1960, Nikita Khrushchev apparently had been let in on the biological weapon, and his 1960 statement will long reflect the arrogance of the secret blend of communism and democracy, you say. The two countries would go to a November 1972 agreement to cull the black population, you say. And Nikita Khrushchev, wasn't he the one that said, we will bury you?
Well, you know, I am not the only one who's going to make this next statement. You will hear this again. What they're saying is that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated by our government because he opposed the biological weapon that was being developed.
Uh-huh.
Not too many people have heard that.
I have never heard that.
Yes, sir. And there is documentation to that effect that he opposed the biological development, and he was assassinated for that opposition alone.
Some would say he introduced real money into our system. Some would say that he was cut down on the Cuban Missile Crisis situation with the Bay of Pigs. They weren't able to take back their country. He was against the Vietnam War.
Yes, sir, but he was against the development of a biological agent that kills people.
Yeah.
And I believe that history will ultimately show that they have been, as we can see now, they have been working at this for a very long time. And if the May 1946 appropriations hearing isn't enough for someone, where they talk about a biological agent in usable shape, one where the enemy would not even know it was under attack, they are talking about HIV. And this is all a matter of fact and all a matter of the record.
Well, and here we are with this health experts strategized to avert global bird pandemic. I see this from Environment News Service, which I've covered a little bit of. And here I see a picture of a hen showing symptoms of avian influenza. And it says hundreds of millions of birds were killed across Asia since 2003 in an attempt to halt the disease. Now, what are your thoughts about this, the killing of the birds in Asia? And I wonder if we received the 30,000 birds from Thailand that I heard that we did.
Well, you know, that's part of the smoke in the mirrors, however, because it gets you to focus, as it is with the mad cow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
It gets you to focus in a misdirected way.
Yes.
If we're making these mycoplasma diseases that kill people and animals, you know, importing 30,000 Thailand birds is not going to make a difference. We are the problem.
Yeah. Well, not you and me, but
no, we
those
mean
in charge.
We, the makers of these mycoplasma diseases. So, you know, say, okay, we've killed 100,000 birds, you know, to try to protect from this, you know, virus, this pandemic from it outbreaking, and indeed, you know, we're the ones who are leading the entire stage production, and it's very, very unfortunate. Most people are totally aware, just even as our president would proclaim that AIDS is a plague of nature. And again, Mr. President, if AIDS is a plague of nature, then where is the government synthetic biological agent that was funded that depletes the immune system so as to allow for the onset of infectious disease? I mean, this is ridiculous. Either AIDS is a plague of nature or AIDS is from the government. I have full confidence that AIDS is from this government.
And it's designed to cull the population, to eliminate a good portion of the population, as is environmental modification, a weather weapon that can be used to eliminate portions of the population of the earth.
Sure, and you know, you and I, as you have mentioned, are both already aware of NSSM 200. It is available on your site. I think somebody can probably find it on mine as well. But,
yes,
you know, it outlines to the percentages that they wanted to reduce the birth rate and increase the death rate in the certain different African poor countries of the world.
Let's come back to that on the other side of the commercial pause. National Security Study Memorandum 200. Dr. Boyd Graves is with us. Stay with us.